Hi, and welcome to Embracing Vulnerability Over the Holidays. I'm very excited to be here with Suzanne Letourneau, a good friend of mine and a wonderful speaker, successful entrepreneur, an amazing author. Suzanne has worked very hard all of her life and has made a big change, and we're going to talk a lot about changing and facing facing change in life and embracing that vulnerability while we do that. And thought, what a better time to do that than over the holidays. Christmas and New Year's always brings those moments of opportunity for change and embracing our vulnerability. Suzanne has authored a couple of books, and one of them is called Adventures in Manifesting. The other is called The Unstoppable Woman's Guide to Emotional Well-Being. So you know already by these titles that Suzanne is an incredible woman. And her latest book, Soar with Vulnerability, is really the message that she wants to share with you today. And I'm very excited to be here today on the webinar with Suzanne, and I welcome everybody that has come along to participate. Just a little bit of housekeeping. If you want to participate and you want to raise your hand during the webinar, please press star 2 on your phone line, or if you're on Skype, you can press star 2. If you're on the webcast, unfortunately, we can't hear your voice, but you can enter your questions in the question box, and we'll get to those questions at the end of the session. I know Suzanne's got a lot to share with us, and then the first 20 minutes, and we'll definitely be open to having some conversation afterwards. So please help me welcome Suzanne Letourneau, and welcome. Thank you, Suzanne, for letting me be here with you today. How are you?
Thank you so much, Janet, for having me. This is wonderful and quite an introduction, and you know, you're pretty good at pronouncing my name as well, so for all of that. And I also want to thank our listeners, the people that are here right now, for taking the time to be with us, and also to take a whole 30 minutes to out of their busy schedule, you know, during the holidays, to talk and to dare talk about vulnerability, which is, as you said before, it is a very important subject during the holidays. Before we jump into the whole presentation, I would like to invite people to get a pen and a paper, because I'm sure you will want to take some notes, and if not, you will definitely will want to have some questions, I'm sure some questions will pop up. And I promise I will keep some time at the end of the presentation for Q&A, and if I talk too much, I'm sure, Janet, you're going to...
I'll keep you online.
Also, thank you. I'm so blessed to have you here. So, okay, so... Now that we know that we need to get ready with a pen and a paper, and before we jump into the heart of vulnerability, I would like to read a few quotes about vulnerability, because it seems that it's a subject right now that is getting more and more popular. But you know, we have to face the fact vulnerability is not something that came out or just started to exist yesterday. And you will see by some of the quotes that I've chosen to share with you tonight. So let's start with the first quote. The first quote is actually by a lady that I also quoted in my book. She's an American writer who wrote about 60 books. Her quote goes this way. And by the way, if you want to take the time to write this quote down, it's really important because we're going to compare 5 different quotes. So you want to, before we even move on, you want to take the time to be with the quote, close your eyes maybe as I read it, and also see how it reflects into your life. See how it shows up in your life, or if it's not in your own personal life, somebody close to you. So the first quote from Madeleine L'Engle goes this way. When we were children, we used to think that when we were grown up, we would no longer be vulnerable. But to grow up is to accept vulnerability. To be alive is to be vulnerable. And I'm making a pause over here because this is a deep quote. It's meant to bring you somewhere deeper into your heart. To be alive is to be vulnerable. And we can expand on that later on into the slide. So be with that one. Now let's move to the second one, and you'll see how different, but how connected they're all from one another. The second quote is from an American psychiatrist. I'm sure everybody knows him. He's a best-selling author. His name is Dr. Scott Peck. He wrote, I think his first book was The Wordless Traveler, something like that. I'm pretty sure.
So I think it's The Road Less Traveled.
The Road Less Traveled. Thank you, Janet.
You're welcome.
Okay, so his quote goes this way. There can be no vulnerability without risk. There can be no community without vulnerability. And this is actually the phrase of the quote that I would like for you to focus on. There can be no peace and ultimately no life without community. So as you can see, the first quote is more related to maybe children growing up and as becoming adults. The second quote has to do more with our social life, living in our community. And now let's go and look at our third quote over here. The third quote is from Elizabeth Shue. Maybe some of you know her. She's a famous American actress. And her quote goes this way. I understand now that the vulnerability that I've always felt is the greatest strength a person can have. You can't experience life without feeling life. And in this one, I would like for you to look at the comparison of the first quote from Madeleine L'Engle that she says, to be alive is to be vulnerable. And Elizabeth just kind of come and reinforce her because she's really talking about personal relationship. You can't experience life without feeling life. Okay, so you have three different quotes right now, bringing different energy to your heart. Let's move on to the next one. The fourth one is by, of course, the famous Brené Brown, the research professor, author, speaker. She's really hot, very massive right now with Oprah. She has a couple of books out. The most recent one is Daring Greatly, The Law of Imperfection. And her quote goes this way. She says, through my research, I found that vulnerability is the glue that holds the relationship together. It's the magic sauce. Don't we all want to have the magic sauce in our relationship? Well, let's look at the next quote and see how they all tie in together. The next quote, it's actually a quote of mine from my book, and the quote goes this way. You are only invulnerable when you are in fear. And I would like for you to write this one down as well, because you might think that I made a mistake over here by saying invulnerable, but I'm really talking about invulnerability. You are only invulnerable. Now, if you're not comfortable with the word invulnerable, I suggest you change it with something like invincible, or you are only pretending when you are in fear. So whatever word you choose, more comfortable with, if it is invincible or pretending, it is when you are in fear. So you can see five different quotes, five different energy comes out of it. And we'll continue on the quote and why I'm sharing those quotes with you. But now let's look at the subject of our presentation tonight. Why talking about vulnerability during the holidays? Well, you know, I think we need to be really honest with ourselves, and let's look at it really directly. Everywhere we look, either be on the radio, we hear, you know, touching Christmas music. On TV, we see all the commercial about getting together with family and buying gifts and the Christmas trees. We look at the, you know, Christmas movies and brings memories to our heart. So everywhere we are and everywhere we go, we see people that are getting together and sharing good times. Because that's what the holidays are supposed to be. It is supposed to be a time for cheering, a time for getting together with family, dancing, singing, all this, you know, celebrating. And I can tell you, I come from Montreal, Quebec. And as a good Quebecer, you know, the Christmas holidays was partying, dancing, all, I don't know how to say it in English, but les danses carrées, I don't know. But it's a big celebration, family playing, you know, violin and dancing, the four square, I don't know how to say that, but definitely it is a time of celebration. And it's also a time where you're more likely to experience intense emotions, especially if you're not surrounded by loved ones. And I would like to share something with you right now, because in just the past couple of days, I heard from four different friends of mine who lost somebody, like just in the past 10 days. One lost her mother, his mother, I'm sorry. He lost his mother. Another one lost her husband. Another colleague of mine in Chicago, she lost, her daughter, I'm sorry. And one of my friends also lost one friend of hers. So, you know, it is not easy. It is not easy to look at all these things during the holidays, and suddenly all your loved ones, either it's your mother or your husband, are you in the mood of celebrating suddenly? No, you're not. So the Christmas holidays, especially I think more the Christmas holidays than the New Year holidays, it's also a time of big vulnerability, because it could be, if it's not because you lost someone that you're really close or someone that you love, it could be for other reasons. It could be because you lost a job, especially in the summer of the year. A lot of people, you know, people do their planning and their budget for next year and say, well, we have to cut your job off because we don't have the budget for next year. So you find yourself without a job. You find yourself with no money. Perhaps you have health issues and you're finding yourself in the hospital. And who's really going to come and visit you? Perhaps I'm thinking of my mother. She's 84 years old. She's living in a residence for elderly people. Well, I'm going to make sure I'm not going to leave her there for Christmas. But, you know, all the of the other people that are there living in the residence, and how many people go and visit them? So many people don't have anybody to spend Christmas with. And some of them just don't have the money or just don't have. So it's a big issue, and it's more amplified during the holidays. And over here, I just share just a couple of situations. You could be homeless. You could be living in a country where your family lives at the other side of the world, and you can see your family. There's many, many situations. But tonight I just decided to share a couple of them. So, you know, we can look at what triggers those emotions and what can be done about it around the holidays, and what we can do, each one of us, to help. Before I move on, I would like to just to tell you a little bit about myself. I know Janet did a wonderful, wonderful introduction, but I would like to tell you a little bit about who I am. First, I want to say that the day that I embrace my own vulnerability, I transformed my life forever. And that's why I wrote a book about it called Soar with Vulnerability. And I can tell you from my heart that book, I'm going to use the word that people would use, but when I wrote that book, I totally exposed myself. I prefer to use the word I opened myself. I opened my whole self to you. My life, my fears, and my heart is in the book. And I went from pretending and being invincible or invulnerable to being real. I went from being unreachable to being authentic. And I went from being in fear to being in trust, or what I like to call in love. Because love is at the very, very, very core of our existence. So that's why I thought it would be important for you to know a little bit about where I come from and why the subject of vulnerability is so important to me. Before we move on into the holidays, you know, what we can do in the holidays to help each other, I just want to give you the worldly definition. I'm going to go and through this very fast because it's very boring, and I'm sure you read it somewhere yourself. But the Wikipedia, the dictionary says, To be vulnerable is to be capable of being physically or emotionally wounded. Number two, it says, vulnerability is to be capable of being persuaded or tempted. And my favorite one, I think it's the last one, that says that vulnerability refers to a person who lets her guards down. So there you go, you got the answer. That means that to be vulnerable, if you let your guards down, that means you've been guarding yourself. You have been building this wall around you, and suddenly you have to let it go. You have to let it down, leaving themselves or leaving yourself open to censure and criticism. So for me, this is all, excuse me, I don't know if I can say BS or what the word I would use over here, but it's totally not the definition that vulnerability is all about. I want to show you the real definition of it. We'll look at two different, if you want to take a piece of paper and divide it in two, on your piece of paper on your right-hand side, maybe you want to put, on the top you can put vulnerability or vulnerable. And what you want to do is put a definition of vulnerability when it comes to objects. And then we'll talk about vulnerability when it talks about more emotions and human beings. So the first one is as an object. So if you see that if there was a broken chair, a broken table, well, a thing that was broken before is, of course, more, and what a dictionary use, is more vulnerable to break again. Me, I prefer to choose the word susceptible. So a broken chair before is more susceptible to break down. Another example in the physical world would be a computer without virus protection is what? Subject to get infected. And the third example for object situation would be a bad house foundation. So you build a house and you really have a bad foundation. That house foundation is more predisposed to future problems than a really good foundation on a house. Now, forget about the objects and just go into the human beings and what we go through into our life and what our understanding of vulnerability is all about. Because I know when I all my life I believed that being vulnerable was a weakness. Now I know that vulnerability is not a weakness. It is not being weak. It is about being sensitive. It's about being sensitive about yourself and about everything that surrounds you. When I talk about my book, that I expose myself in my book to you, I know today that I don't expose myself. I open myself to you. I open everything that I am and that I have been and I'm continuing of being into my present to you with my heart. And the most important thing I think right now that I would like to share with you is that once you embrace your vulnerability, You enter into a space of defenselessness. Defenselessness. Because when you are in that space of defenselessness, you realize that there is nothing that you need to defend yourself from. There is no fear to have. There is no worries to even think about. You are totally you in your authenticity, and there is totally nothing to defend yourself from. And I know it's difficult for me to transport it to you just right now on a teleseminar. Perhaps next week we'll have more time to go into the deepness of this. But I hope you wrote this down and change the words into the vulnerability, weak to sensitivity, exposed to open, and defenseless in a situation that you don't have anything to defend yourself from. One thing that I'd like to talk to you as well tonight before we go into what we can do during the holidays, and maybe you want to write this down as well, so you want to think about it and be with it because you're going to have a homework to do for next week. Invulnerability attracts invulnerability. So if you're not comfortable with the word invulnerability, because I know, Janet, you did tell me it's not a word that people use on a regular basis, change the word invulnerability to invincible or pretending. So if someone pretends, that attracts other people around you to pretend as well with you. If you pretend to be invincible, people around you will pretend to be invincible, and there will be never any real connection. Fear attracts fear. Love attracts love. But if you go to fear attracts fear, that is something that creates more separation and hostility between us. Hiding your vulnerability is not allowing for your relationship to be complete. And I'm going to say that again because I think it's very important to be with that. The whole time that you're hiding your vulnerability, that you're hiding your sensitivity, that you're hiding your little gifts inside yourself that you think people are not going to appreciate, the whole time that you're hiding that from people, it's not allowing for your relationship to be complete. And at the same time, it's also stopping the person that is with you to not be complete in their relationship with you. So it's a very, very, very deep, you know, subject, and it's complex for some people. For me, it's just part of my life now, and I would never go back to being invulnerable. And what I found out from the moment that I did embrace my vulnerability, that it is only in my vulnerability that I find true freedom. And you will find true freedom. And the freedom that you will find is the freedom from ego. And I know we don't have time to go into the ego again. That's a whole big presentation on its own. But just know that it is in your own, in your whole vulnerability that you will find true freedom. Now, how can we do something during the holidays? Well, I can tell you something. Because vulnerability is coming from a space of love versus fear, love is at the very core of your existence. And if you focus on that, if you allow yourself to be vulnerable, to be open, to be sensitive, to be responded to people around the holidays, you can transform not only your life, but someone else's life as well. You'll be surprised how you can do that. So let's do some small exercise. What I'd like to do for next week is I'm going to give you some a homework to do. And the homework is this. We have a week before the next teleseminar, which is going to be December 19, at 7 o'clock. How can you make a difference during the holidays? Well, from tonight, as you hang up the phone, look at everything that you're going to do. Become the actor and the producer of your own life. So that means in everything that you do, be the witness of, before you say something, before you put an action, it's almost like you're the producer and the actor at the same time, so you don't have the time to kind of think about it for 5-10 minutes because you're both actor and producer. And ask yourself, what's the meaning of me saying that? Is it meaningful or is it meaningless? So stop and there be yourself in your authenticity and there be acting in a way that you would not act usually. That means there be you in your authenticity. And you'll see how surprised, how the people will react around you and say, oh my gosh, you know, Suzanne, I've never seen you that before. No, well, that's me. And people will be pleasantly surprised to see you be you. And you'll see, you will open the door for them to be themselves as well. So the first exercise, well, the whole exercise is to look at this week and you have four things to do. You might want to take note of this right now, and then we'll talk about it next week. So before doing anything, before saying anything, starting tonight after you hang up the phone, is stop and dare be yourself in authenticity in everything that you do. Number two, let go of your stories. Stories, anyways, are just things that you've created from the past or from the future, but they never are from the moment. They are never from the present. So let go of your stories. Let go of your old beliefs, because a belief, anyways, it's only a thought that you don't question anymore. Therefore, if you let go of all your stories and your old beliefs, you will be able to let go of your false protection, because there's no beliefs to hang on to, there's no stories to hang on to. It's going to be you in your authenticity in the moment, in the present. And God knows the only thing that is a real gift is being in the moment is magic and it's a pure gift. The other thing I suggest for you to do is just hug someone. Hug someone who doesn't expect it. And don't hug in the hopes to get something in return. Just hug someone. And it has to be genuine. It cannot be false. It cannot be a pretense. Just hug someone from your heart. And the last one, the last exercise, part of the four steps, I would say, dare say to someone, I was wrong. I don't know. I just don't know. I'm sorry. And one little phrase of three words that might be very challenging to say for some of you is to say, I love you. You might be afraid to say to someone you love them before they tell you they love you. So it would be a really big step for you to do that and dare say that to someone. But you're only going to dare to say and do all those things if you're going to do and tell them in authenticity, in vulnerability, in the true person that you are. So that's your exercise. That's your homework for next week. And next week, what I'd like to talk about after we're going to share some of your insight and some of your experience that you had during the week. The next subject that I would like to talk about next week that is goes hand in hand with vulnerability is surrender, how to surrender, because surrendering or surrender is also another misunderstood word. Myself, all my life, I thought that to surrender meant to give up, to quit, to be a quitter, to be a loser whatsoever. And I did realize, and surrender is really the first insight of my book. And I realized that in the willingness of surrendering, everything becomes much simpler and more natural. Everything becomes so smooth and, so we'll talk more about that next week. So, Janet, I think, do you have any questions from people?
I just wanted to put it out there again for those of you that joined the webinar a little bit later. If you have any questions for Susan, I'm sure there's a lot of things that have come up. I mean, your content has sparked a lot of thought and consideration. So I want to invite everybody that's on the line to please put their hand up. Press star 2 on the phone if you're on the phone or on Skype, or you can go into the webcast and enter your question in the Q&A box there. And I've got a couple coming in. I'll just give a few minutes. I know that the content that you've covered is quite rich and quite deep, so there is a lot of things that are starting to spark for people, I'm sure. And I guess the what comes up for me, maybe you can talk about this a little bit more, is I'm sure a lot of us have spent a lot of our lives, you know, protecting ourselves and sort of showing a good, strong outer veneer to protect our feelings. And this whole idea of becoming vulnerable, is definitely fearful. So if we are being invulnerable, as you say, or, you know, sort of Teflon, it comes from a place of fear because, you know, maybe we've had some bad experiences in the past where we have revealed some, you know, tenderness and we've been attacked for it. So what do you recommend in terms of trying to be okay and like you said, surrendering or releasing that fear around vulnerability?
Well, you know, for me, Janet, you know, when I realized that all my life I had protected myself with this big wall of invulnerability, I realized from the moment that I embraced my vulnerability, I realized that by bringing this wall down, I was allowing myself to really, to be truly me. Like, truly me, like, I didn't have to lie, I didn't have to pretend, I didn't have to never in my life. And what I realize is that by doing so, it has opened so many doors for me. It has opened doors of opportunities in different type of relationship. It has, with my own personal relationship, with my partner in life, it has intensified that even more, because it's one relationship that I really never really pretend with him from the beginning. But when I've let go of any of the invulnerability I had, he's just kind of brought it into a more intense position where he could not hide anymore. He could not pretend anymore himself, because it's too clear, it's too transparent. And then when you allow to be in your whole vulnerability, everything becomes so simple. You know, you don't have to remember lies. You don't have to. And as I say, I'm going back again to the definition of vulnerability. Vulnerability is really a sensitivity. So if I look at you in my life as my friend, Janet, and I'm going to be sitting with you and I'm going to be open to you and I'm going to confide in something in you, I am being open to you. People call it vulnerable. I call it I'm being open to you. I'm opening my heart to you and I trust you. And by doing so, what you will see from you, you will feel and that you want to do the same thing with me.
Mm-hmm.
You will feel that you want to do exactly the same thing with me. You will feel that you are in a surrounding that you can allow that for yourself.
Yeah, and that's interesting when you're in relationship with someone else to be safe, to feel safe enough to do that with someone else. And what comes to mind for me as you're saying this is that you have to also feel safe enough with yourself, trust yourself. Because I know, many people, including myself, I spend a lot of time beating myself up about things or, you are your own worst critic in a way. So it's about also creating that sort of support system or that ability to be vulnerable with your own, with yourself. Does that, what I'm saying?
Janet, you've got it. You totally understood it. And I'm going to tell you something. You know, everything I'm talking about tonight, and I'll talk about next week as well, it's all based on my book and my realization and the 11 insights of my book. And when you say you need to feel safe and all that, it's about trusting yourself as well. Well, what can you do to allow yourself to be more vulnerable? That's a question that I think is really huge. What can you do to allow yourself to be more vulnerable? Is to love yourself. Love yourself more, not from the ego point of view, but love yourself as the divinity that you are. Love yourself as the essence that you are. Love yourself as the soul being that you are. You know, each one of us, we're unique and we came here for a reason on this planet. And if you're not yourself, if you're not allowing yourself to be totally yourself and authentic, vulnerable, raw, sensitive in who you are, who are you going to be in this world? So it's really, really, really to learn to love yourself. You know, I know that some people in different books talk about that it's important to listen to what other people say about yourself and all that. I don't go that avenue. There's a wonderful book I read one day, and it's called What You Think of Me is None of My Business. And that book is by Dr. Cole Whitaker. She's a wonderful lady. The book is really a big spiritual book. It has nothing to do with religion. But she teaches us that what people think of you is never about you, Janet. It's always about them. It's always about their limitation. It's always about their discomfort zone. It's always about what they think of and how they create this boundary around themselves. So when they judge you, it's never about you. It's always about their limitations. And
yeah,
me,
so
go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I guess you could interpret that too to say that if you're judging others, then it's a good way to look at what it is that you're judging yourself on.
Absolutely.
Because there's that, to me, there's that very close link between judgment and being vulnerable. Maybe you can talk about that a little bit.
You want to talk about it now, or you want to talk about it next week?
Well, it's just, yeah, I mean, we have a few minutes left, and I'm just going to see if there's another question here on the webinar. But, yeah, I got one more question. But maybe you can just talk a little bit just about the connection between vulnerability and judgment, if that's okay.
Yeah, it's fine with me, because for me, they're not in the same basket at all. Vulnerability is coming from a space of love, and judgment is coming from a space of ego and fear. You know, there's really to be conducting in life. There's the conductor of love and there's conducting of fear. And when you are in judgment, you're coming from fear. When you feel that you need to pretend yourself, to be pretending or judging people, or you are jealous of somebody, of all these things, this is all coming from fear. When you come from a space of love, you come from a space of no question. It's like a higher understanding. It's like a higher peacefulness that you feel, and there's nothing that can touch it. There's nothing that can really harm it. So just figure that there's, you know, before I gave you two columns to go by, the definition of objects and emotion and the vulnerability explanation behind that, if you divide your world into a world that is conducted in fear and a world that is conducted in love, and you will know exactly when you come from fear, which is your ego, and when you come from love, which is really the true essence of who you are, the core essence, the core of the existence of our life.
Actually, and that is a perfect way to segue into the last question that we have here. When you gave us homework, you said that we're to move forward in the next week and just notice that when before we go to say something or do something, ask ourselves what is the intention or what is the meaning behind what it is that we're going to say or do. So in that respect, we're really asking ourselves, are we coming from fear or are we coming from love?
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, I have a whole chapter in my book that is called Meaningless, What is Meaningful, and I have a whole chapter called Emptiness, because in your emptiness lays your fullness. But for the object of the exercise for next week, I think maybe you want to look at those four things that you want to do. So before you say or do you do something, where does it come from? Are you in action-reaction mode? Or, you know, why are you really saying those words to the people? Where are they coming from? Are they coming from judgment or are they coming from your true self? And you'll be surprised every time that you stop yourself what you will realize from it. The other exercise that I think I could give you, give everybody on the call tonight to help them, when you find in the next week for your exercise, when you find yourself being afraid of being involved, of being vulnerable, so say, Janice, you find yourself being afraid of being vulnerable in front of somebody, and you're going to have this big wall showing up, and you can see that wall that comes up. You know, see that wall is there, and with some people, you're very easy to let it down, but for other people, you're not. So when you see that wall coming up in the presence of somebody, I would like for you and all of you on the call to ask yourself those three questions. You have a pen and paper, Janice?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So when you're going to find yourself like that in that position this week, I would like for you to ask those three questions. The first question is, what am I afraid of? The second question you're going to ask yourself is, which beautiful part of me is afraid to be seen? Which beautiful part of me is afraid to be seen? And the third and final question you want to ask yourself in that particular moment is, which sensitive part of me is afraid to be judged? Because this is where we go back to where the point of talking about the vulnerability over the holidays. The emotions are always triggered by something. No matter what, they're triggered by something. Always they're triggered from something from the past, from a belief from the past. They are never triggered from the moment. It's never. It has nothing to do with the moment. It always has something to do with the past or the fear of what could happen in the future. But if you live right now in the moment of that presence of you are afraid of being vulnerable with that person, ask yourself those three questions, and you're going to see the answers are going to pop up not from the moment. They're going to pop up from the past.
That's very insightful. Absolutely. We are complex beings, aren't we?
We are, and we complicate our life so for nothing, for nothing. We're the ones who make it complicated for nothing. If we could just learn to let go and surrender to the beautiful essence that we are, then, everything is so much,
it's easier
for everybody, it's easier for us, and make it easier for everybody around us.
Yeah, well, I thank you so much for that, Suzanne. I think we're going to wrap it up now. And
okay.
I think if everybody is, you've spoken about your book a couple of times. I think it sounds like there might be some opportunity in there for people to dig a little deeper into the concepts that you're sharing with us. And I encourage people that are on the webcast to go to the button on the left that says, I'm ready to soar. That will take you to Suzanne Letourneau's website where you can purchase the book. Can they get that on Amazon as well?
Yeah, they actually cannot purchase the book on my website, but they can get it on Amazon. And there's an e-book copy as well.
Okay, perfect, perfect. So
then can you remind them for next week?
If they want to pick up the book and have it read by next week, we've got a lot of homework to do.
No. What I'd like to do is maybe remind them that we have the second part next week, Thursday, December the 19th. It's also going to be at 7 o'clock at night. And the way I'm going to proceed this week to send them the connection and the link to sign up is going to be a little bit different than this past week. So just to look up for that. And if they have any question, if they want to send their question beforehand, before next week, can I give my email address, Janet?
Yes, of course you can.
Okay, so my email address would be Suzanne, S-U-Z in America, or in Canadian is Z, right?
Mm-hmm.
S-U-Z-A-N-N-E at Suzanne Letourneau, LETOURNEAU.com. So I'm inviting you all to send me the question beforehand so we can start the teleseminar next week with your concern at hand, with your questions, and we'll go deep into it, and then we'll leave the surrender at the end of the teleseminar.
Okay, perfect. And also the link that they'll be getting when they sign up for next week's webcast, they can also enter their questions into the webcast box like we did today, and I really encourage you all to go out and open yourself to the opportunity to be more vulnerable. And I thank you so much, Suzanne, for encouraging us to embrace ourselves and embrace our vulnerability over the holidays in a loving and kind way, and go out and hug somebody. I love that.
Well, I want to thank you, Janet. Thank you so much for all your support in here. And I'm going to miss you next week because I hear you're going to be away. But thank you for everything, and I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, you take care. Bye-bye for now.
Bye-bye.